And joining us, we have Marcus Ebersol. He comes to us from WDUZ, the Fan, up in Green Bay. Talk a little bit about training camp and the upcoming Packers season. Marcus, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Hey, I'm going to jump right into this. Coming into camp, you know, the old camp opens today, and I was preparing for this interview, and I started writing down some questions, and I got a bunch, and I got about 6, 7, and then I got to 8. I go, okay, I got to cut off here. I've got enough questions. And then I also go, wait, what about this? What about that? I mean, there's 1,000 storylines going with this Green Bay team. You think it'd be a little more subtle, but after that offseason of a lot of change, both in the coaching staff, the front office, and, of course, the personnel and the draft, there's, like I said, 1,000 storylines going on. Give me probably your top two storylines that you're most interested in as of day one of training camp.
Well, number one, I think it's just overall what everybody's going to be talking about, of course, is Aaron Rodgers is back now. And I know we saw him return from that broken collarbone last year against Carolina, but whenever you have Aaron Rodgers, you've got a chance. I mean, even if the Packers hadn't made the coaching staff changes and with the personnel department, when you've got Aaron Rodgers, I mean, if the dude needs to pull off a Hail Mary at the end of a game to win it, he will. That's Aaron Rodgers. So that's a big storyline. And just when you start a season with that guy healthy, it just gives you a good vibe. So that's certainly, above all, when you have Aaron Rodgers, you've got a shot. When you don't, it's a whole different story, as we saw last year. And then the other thing is, as you mentioned, those changes they made with the coaching staff. I mean, it had been a problem on defense for the Packers, really going back to the Super Bowl year in 2010 under Don Capers. And McCarthy, maybe if you had to nitpick like his one downfall, maybe he's almost too loyal to his guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, he stuck with Don Capers through a lot of rough years on defense, but finally made that change. And we'll say this, for all the issues the Packers had last year, from the backup quarterback with Brett Hundley just struggling, he was not ready to fill in for Aaron Rodgers, to the defense falling short once again, I mean, you name it. Whatever issue the Packers had last year, you can't say they didn't try to address it this offseason, and I'm not sure that was the case in the past. We'll see if it works, but they've got two new coordinators, Joe Philbin on offense and Mike Pettine on defense, and then they went out and made the trade for DeShone Kizer as the backup quarterback. So we'll see if it works, but at least they've tried this offseason to address those needs.
Now, you said your number one storyline is Aaron Rodgers. That makes a whole lot of sense. Following that, though, is, of course, the number one story that's been going on for ages and ages apart. I'm just really tired of hearing about it, is his contract situation. Grant, it's not an issue right now, and it potentially doesn't have to be an issue. The Packers have the hammer in this. He's theirs for at least 4 more years, no matter what happens here. But are you hearing anything new, different on the negotiations for an extended contract? Because, I mean, it went from, it seemed like it was really close about 3 weeks ago to almost in the last report, I said they're not anywhere near close. So, I mean, what are you hearing up there, and what are you anticipating is going to happen?
Pretty much hearing the same thing. I mean, I don't think anything's going to happen soon. I was kind of under the impression throughout this whole process that at some point this summer, training camp or just before spring, whatever, at some point it would get done. I'm not sure that's the case anymore. The more I'm hearing, the more I'm thinking about it, I think with the Packers currently with NFL contracts, I mean, you know, it's not like the NBA where the player can pretty much, if you're a star player, you can opt out. You can go wherever you want. The players have the power. It's not like that in the NFL. Rodgers has a couple more years on his deal. I know he's the best quarterback in the league, or arguably the best quarterback in the league, but he can't just up and leave. He could hold out, but the Packers still have his rights for 2 years, and then they could franchise tag him after that.
Right.
I don't think that's their best course of action with a player of Rodgers' stature. I'm sure both sides would like to get that long-term security, but I think this could be a while yet, so it's just going to be a wait-and-see approach. We do know, though, Rodgers is in town, so there's no drastic contract dispute where Rodgers is just not showing up to camp.
Mm-hmm. The obvious question coming into camp always is health. Yesterday we heard that Brian Bulaga and Nick Perry, and Perry's a little bit of a surprise, but they're going to open on the PUP, PUP list. What is your what are you hearing regarding the injury situation of some of the other guys? We'll start with those two, with Bulaga and Perry, but I also want a little bit about what you've heard about, specifically Randall Cobb, Josh Jones, and Kevin King, as far as the injury concerns are.
Okay, so Brian Bulaga, not a surprise. When that came, I mean, it was a matter of time before that news broke. He was going to start on the PUP list. He had the ACL surgery in November. Now, on the bright side, I get nowadays people are making quicker comebacks from the ACL, so there might be an outside chance he's ready for the start of the season. Either way, no surprise he starts camp on the PUP. Nick Perry was a surprise. the ankle injury. It was initially reported to be a hand, but it's an ankle with him. That wasn't really talked about, so that's a surprise until you think about it and you realize that it's Nick Perry, and if he wasn't on the pup list, it would probably be more of a surprise.
I was going to say the same thing, that's it's a surprise, and yet it's kind of par for the course when it comes to Nick Perry.
Exactly. And then you get to the guys like Randall Cobb, and yeah, apparently he was spotted in a walking boot. Michael Cohen of The Athletic saw him in a walking boot. That must have been 2-3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Nothing new on that. I know he just held his camp. We just had him on with us almost not even a week ago. And he was running around. He didn't have a boot on at his camp. I think he's good to go. McCarthy will talk to the media later this morning. So he wasn't asked about Cobb specifically yesterday. Players were going through their physicals. So as far as him, as far as Josh Jones, we'll probably hear more on that today. And then you mentioned Kevin King. Mm-hmm. He said all along throughout the offseason, OTAs and minicamp, that he would be ready for camp. He said, you know, he was asked if they're going to be ready right away day one for training camp. He's like, you guys going to be there? We're like, yeah. He's like, all right, you'll see, with a little smirk on his face. So he obviously had the shoulder surgery, but couldn't practice in the spring. He was staying busy. He was doing push-ups. I can't tell you how many push-ups the guy was doing. He said his dad's been teaching them to do push-ups even when you're watching TV, get some in during the commercials and stuff. They'd be doing drills, and Kevin King would be cranking out push-ups on the sideline.
You know, I want to jump back to Aaron Rodgers, Marcus. And, you know, from the outside looking in, it always seems like, you know, any decision made in Green Bay is going to go through Aaron Rodgers, you know, on or off the record, or whatever you want to say. You know, obviously he said he was not consulted when Alex Van Pelt was fired. He seemed dismayed when Jordy Nelson was let go and ended up in Oakland. Do you sense there's any bad blood between Rodgers and members of the organization as we head into this 2018 camp?
I don't get that vibe, and I understand the storyline there where, you know, I see what you're saying, where decisions could go through Rodgers because he's the guy. Let's face it, he's the most valuable person. Any kind of measure you want to use, player, coach, run office, administrator, whatever, mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers is the most valuable person to the Packers. But that being said, whenever he makes a comment, because of his stature, it's going to become a story in
right.
some people's eyes. I can see why Rodgers, I mean, think about it. Your job, my job, you know, you're a doctor, you're a, well, whatever. If you work with somebody that closely, like Alex Van Pelt, or like Jordy Nelson for that matter, and then all of a sudden they leave, or your employer lets them go without much resistance, whatever the case may be, there's going to be a little bit of, assuming you like the guy, there's going to be a little bit of, dang, you know, he's gone. That sucks. And I would have liked to be a part of that, but, I mean, he's a player. He's not a front office guy.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the business. He's seen Charles Woodson leave. I mean, this happens every single year. I don't think it's anything out of the ordinary. I understand why he'd be frustrated to a degree, but I really don't think it's a big deal.
One of the areas of interest for me is the wide receiver situation. And obviously, we're just starting camp. It's really new. We've got three rookies coming in as well. And you've got, as you mentioned, Cobb coming off this boot incident. But you said he's been looking pretty good lately. How do you think the receiver is going to kind of pan out at this stage? And do any or all of those rookies make it? Do any of them contribute at all? And players like Trevor Davis and that, where do they fit? So kind of give me the wide receiver situation.
It's interesting. I think, you know, going back for seemingly Mike McCarthy's entire tenure here in Green Bay, receiver's been probably, it was probably the best position that Ted Thompson drafted. I mean, you look at his track record, in the second and third rounds, he's got guys from Greg Jennings to James Jones to Jordy Nelson to Davante Adams, Randall Cobb. I mean, they've been really, really deep at receiver for about a decade plus. Now that is not the case. And I think, obviously, you've got Davante Adams as your number one. They just gave him his extension in the offseason. Well-deserved. Randall Cobb is your number two. Pressure's kind of on Cobb to start producing as a number two, because since he signed his deal a couple years ago, he has not been the same player, at least in terms of production. So after Adams and Cobb, then it gets interesting. You're not looking at a James Jones or a Jordy Nelson or a familiar name. At your three receiver, you're looking at Geronimo Allison, and that's the only real direct competition that the rookies, like you mentioned, Jamon Moore, Equanimeous St. Brown, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling, as late round receivers, playing with Aaron Rodgers and having to compete with really only Geronimo Allison for the number three spot, that's got to be, I imagine that's got to be like the best possible scenario if you're a rookie coming in. You got to be looking at this opportunity like, man, I could be the number three receiver. Forget being a fourth, fifth, sixth round pick, whatever. I could be the number three receiver with Aaron Rodgers in my first year. They've got a golden opportunity in front of them, those rookies do. And then, of course, we get to Jimmy Graham, which he's probably more of a receiver than a tight end. So actually, in terms of like progression, Jimmy Graham could be your pseudo number three receiver.
I was just going to say that. It looks like Graham might be more likely to be that position than any of the actual true receivers on that situation. Hey, we're talking with Marcus Ebersol of WDUZ, the Fan in Green Bay. I assume you've watched him over the OTAs and all that, and we talked about the new coaching situation. Now, Joe Philbin is technically new, but yeah, he's not because he's never been there before, so he's kind of coming back, which I think is a welcome return. The one that's under more eyes, I think, is Mike Pettine. Tell me a little bit about what your observations of Pettine have been so far in terms of his personality, his interaction with the players, what he's like. I know everything that I've read is that he's certainly no Dom Capers when it comes to personality and how he handles and treats the players.
Definitely a different change of pace there. I know, like, right away the first thing you notice, I think he kind of looks like Stone Cold Steve Austin. I think maybe, like, you know, most bald guys with a goatee kind of do, I guess, but I don't know. That's definitely a different personality than what they had under Dom Capers. I mean, let's face it, Dom Capers, without looking it up, probably 70 years old. Mike Pettine is not. He's a breath of fresh air as far as that goes. And the players echo the same sentiment. So they've got this, you know, the KISS philosophy, keep it simple, stupid. They always talk about Mike Pettine. He's got a kill philosophy. Not literally, but keep it likable and learnable. And I think that's kind of it's catchy, it's cool, it's something for us to cling on to. But the players say that's the case, too. He brought in a couple guys, Mo Wilkerson from the New York Jets as a D-lineman, and Tremont Williams, the corner who used to be with the Packers. Then he went to Cleveland and went to Arizona. Tremont played under Mike Pettine with the Browns, and, of course, Mo Wilkerson played under Pettine with the Jets. And they say the same thing. It's like, you keep it simple, you know where you got to be, and then you just go out and play. The less thinking, the better. And Mike Pettine even said, too, it's more important how we play, like mentality, than what we play in terms of scheme. He doesn't sound overly concerned about being labeled as a 3-4 scheme or a 4-3 scheme. He's like, if my edge rushers prefer to put their hand in the dirt, that's what they'll do. If they want to stand up, they can do that, too. So being flexible, keeping it likable, keeping it learnable. And let's face it, there's really nowhere to go but up in terms of the Packers' defense because it's been pretty bad lately.
It has. Hey, one last question, Marcus. Give me kind of heading into camp, give me a bold prediction from you of what will be something that we'll be surprised to see when camp ends, that you true kind of, whether it be with the players or a position or who makes the team or something like that. But give me one last bold prediction before camp's over.
One bold prediction I think I would have for this year, and maybe it's not bold in some people's eyes, but the Packers, with their first-round pick, have not generally gotten an immediate impact. I mean, you go back to Ted Thompson's last several, I mean, Nick Perry took a while, actually took about 4 years to finally return on that investment. Dayton Jones, they got nothing from. He's not even here anymore. Go through the line. The Packers have swung and missed on a lot of defensive players in the first round. I think Jaire Alexander is the real deal. And at 18, even though they traded down from 14 to take Alexander, he's still the earliest first-round pick the Packers have had since they took B.J. Raji number 9 overall in 2009. I think Jaire Alexander was the guy they wanted all along. They moved down knowing he would still be there. I think he's going to pass all the tests. I think he'll be a surefire starter. I think from the moment they called his name right away on draft day, they put him in a specific role. So whether it's as the nickelback, which they'll play probably 80% of the time, or one of the starting outside corners, I think Jaire Alexander is going to be the real deal. And if you want it to be even bolder, I think he gets a handful of picks this year, and he's right there in the Defensive Rookie of the Year running.